Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. We invite your calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free across the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls right now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is Basic Gospel, and this is the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. He died. He was buried. He was raised back to life, and he's alive today. And that's just amazing stuff. And I don't think we as believers can really get enough of that good news. Sure. I mean, we hear the story. We want to hear it again and again and again. And we want to tell that story because that is the story that makes a difference in somebody else's lives. But as we mentioned, this gospel message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we want to ask a question today to our listeners. And so we're encouraging you to weigh in on this particular question. What does Christ's death mean to you? He died 2,000 years ago. That's one of the centerpieces of this Christian faith. What does that death that happened 2,000 years ago mean to you? And in what ways is his finished work on that cross making a difference in your life today? Is it just a historical fact that you've recognized? Or is the truth that his blood took away sin forever making a difference in your life today as far as your relationship with God is concerned, as far as your relationship with others? Let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. Had a wonderful email that came in just today based on a call that we had last Friday with Louise. And I don't know if some of our listeners remember, but Louise from New York called, and she was struggling with some health issues. Right. And felt like many of her prayers were going unanswered. Why isn't God healing me of these diseases? And in the course of this conversation, we brought it back to the point that maybe Jesus Christ has something better for you than just physical healing. And Louise opened up her heart and received the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Fran was listening to that in Oklahoma City, and she wrote this: "Just wanted to let you know, I listened to Louise's call on June 7th and was very moved. Have been struggling with whether I am really saved or not, and really appreciated being able to say the prayer along with Louise. I'm so glad I found your ministry. It is truly a blessing." That's the power of this gospel message. It penetrates human hearts, and it brings life to those who were dead spiritually. Yeah. It brings joy to hearts who have lived in misery for so long. It brings peace to those that have been in confusion and in conflict with themselves. That's the power of this gospel message. And so we're very encouraged by Louise's call last Friday and also this email from Fran. Yeah. So thank you for sending that in.
It also, Bob, shows the power of radio. When one prays along with you on the air to receive Jesus Christ, others hear and others come to Christ at the same time. We've seen that throughout the history of the broadcast, and so we are very, very encouraged by hearing from Fran.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have an offer. Our question of the day is about the death of Christ. What does it mean to you? How is it making a difference in your life? We have a CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, that answers that question. If you want to know how the death of Jesus Christ applies to your personal experience right now, this particular CD is available just for you. You can go to our website at basicgospel.net. Or you can call Billy at 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828, and just ask her. She will send a copy of that right to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, plenty of open lines right now. We encourage your calls. If you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question or some issue in your life, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Question from Terry. Romans 14:23 says, "That which is not of faith is sin. We all sin, of course, from time to time by acting in the flesh instead of by faith." My question, he says, is depending on what translation you're reading, this verse says, "When we do so, Are we either damned or condemned? How do we understand this verse in light of Romans 8:1 that tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? That's from Terry in Garden Grove, California.
Well, excellent question, and it really gets back to the question of the day. What does Christ's death mean to us here and now? And if we're in Christ, Richard, the Bible is really clear. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely none.
And why is that?
Because he has already taken it away. He suffered our condemnation so that we didn't have to. He took away sin. It no longer separates us from God. He was completely victorious over that law of sin and death so that the law of the Spirit of life can be our life now.
So our sins did not go unjudged, nor did they go unpunished, did they?
No, absolutely. We were guilty. We deserved death. He took it all.
Jesus took it all. So the condemnation that we deserved, he took the punishment. So once we're in Christ, there's no condemnation
Nothing left.
For us. So what about this issue of faith, that whatever you do that does not come from faith is sin? What is Paul getting at there?
Well, he's been talking about the so-called weak person and the so-called strong person, who has weak faith or who has strong faith. And it's around issues like days of worship and food and drink and all of that. And what he's asking people to do is to walk in love, to love as Christ loved them, so that by our choices, we don't cause someone else who doesn't believe like we do, we don't cause them to condemn themselves by the choices they feel like they were pressured to make.
And that's the key point right
yes.
there. They condemn themselves. This
yes.
condemnation has
nothing
to do with God.
Yeah.
That condemnation was taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But if you've grown up and you've said, I can't eat meat on Friday, when you come to that point and realize that, you know, you actually can and you feel that you really can, that first day you try to eat meat on Friday, you're going to feel a little weird about it. A little strange and wondering if that's the thing to do, and you might experience some self-condemnation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this passage
that's exactly
is talking
what it's about.
Yeah. We are on the air every day, friends, for the purpose of addressing your phone calls. That's why we do a live broadcast, so we would love to hear from you. If you have a question, something that's confounding you as far as a Bible passage is concerned, a life issue that you're struggling with, this is your opportunity. The lines are wide open right now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call right now. Guys, a very perplexing note from Jesse, who actually wrote to us from New Zealand. He says, please help me try to understand this. Last Sunday, we had a communion service at our church. Having a non-Christian tagging along with me, as he has shown interest in coming, I asked if he would be interested in, if he would like to experience this practice, and I would explain it to him later, the meaning of it. Unfortunately, he got hold of the bread and wine, and it was taken away by one of the ushers, and her exact words were, this is for Christians only. I was taken aback and even dumbfounded, but it looks like Christianity, in this particular case, looks like an exclusive club. Was she right in her action? Please enlighten me on that. That again, that's from Jesse in New Zealand.
Well, her action may have been something directed by church policy itself. And one, how she knew this person was not a believer, I'm not sure. Maybe she was making a judgment on that. Maybe he didn't look saved. I don't know. Or maybe there was some information that had been passed along that gave her that information. But the Lord's Supper, baptism, both of those are celebrations that Christians experience. They are celebrations of what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so really, those who are in Christ are the ones who experience the greatest benefit in participating in those. Those who are lost, it's just a meaningless ritual. But if it's done correctly, if it's presented correctly, a person in this situation, somebody who is lost, who is coming to a church service, if they hear the correct explanation, I think it could be one of those great evangelistic tools. And as they hear this gospel message being proclaimed, their heart gets opened, then they could actually celebrate it with the joy of the Lord in their heart. So it could be a great evangelistic tool. Churches vary on their practices and their policies concerning the Lord's Supper, if I'm in this lady's shoes, I make an appointment with the pastor, go talk with him and say, this is what happened. Now my friend is turned off by the church. What can we do? And would you go and talk to him and explain this?
Yeah.
And I think that would be the way to handle this particular situation.
Very good. Well, we have plenty of open lines. Come on in, friends. Be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, and we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377.
Clifton, New Jersey. Let's talk to Andrew, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. God bless you, brother. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I've listened, and you know what? I don't know. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me to call today, but I've listened on and off for years, and I listen to Christian radio as I drive. I find that I drive much more polite when I am in the Lord's presence.
that's a good testimony yeah. for Christian radio right there.
Amen.
It controls road rage.
Amen. And I suffer from it. I certainly do. But with the Lord's grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I'm not calling as a question. I'm just calling as a reminder to other brothers and sisters that, people might have a misconception and think that hell is a place where Satan is going to be poking us with his pitchfork and tormenting, and he's going to be ruling. And that's not biblically sound. Like, he's loose here on earth now, and he's prodding us with his pitchfork now. But he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever, along with every unsaved person. Amen?
That's what it says in Revelation 20. It's pretty clear. It's pretty
Amen.
Clear indeed. Well, Andrew, thanks for that encouragement.
Right on. One last thing, and I want to get one printed again. I used to have a T-shirt with Revelation 20:10, and it said, next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And victory is already won.
Hey,
it's already won. Praise the Lord.
Indeed. That is great news, Andrew. Yeah. That is fantastic news.
The Lord changed my life 17 years ago, and I just wanted to share that with our brothers and sisters.
Well, thank you. We sure appreciate you you calling in. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey just as our way of saying thank you for being a part of the program today.
It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. 1-800-677-9377.
Interesting question or comment that Andrew made about mm-hmm. Satan himself. What do most people think about Satan and God? That they're equal in power and that it's this battle and, you know, hopefully yeah. God's going to win in the end?
Yeah, you almost think it's sort of like a heavyweight boxing match and they're evenly pitted against each other. And there's really some doubt in the outcome. You know, whoa, what if Satan beats Jesus or defeats God? And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the way I like to describe it is that Satan is that bug on your windshield. You know, you're driving down the road, and this bug decides to attack your car, and it's just splattered against your windshield. That's about as much power as Satan has against Jesus, against God himself. I'm glad he brought that up, because that idea torments people. I know it did me. When I was growing up, I thought, you know, it was a toss-up whether Jesus was going to win or Satan was going to win. When I finally learned that Jesus had won once and for all, never to be questioned again, it changed everything, because I could serve, I could love a God who cannot, would not, and will never fail. And that's what he offered to me.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's almost laughable to think that Jesus and Satan are going to have this grand battle, and it's
yeah.
going to be a struggle. Isn't it just the fact that Jesus speaks, and
yes.
that's the end?
Yeah, if you read Revelation and all this judgment and stuff, Jesus never participates in the battle. He just speaks,
yeah,
and it's done.
And that gets all back to our topic of the day, the cross of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Man, there was the defeat of Satan
right there.
Right there, the battle was won, and it was won through death. Jesus died. He volunteered to do that. He was obedient unto death, mm-hmm. and victory was won, and it was declared in the three words, it is finished.
Yes.
And so that should give us victory in our day-to-day lives. We don't have to listen to what Satan tells us, especially when it comes to our sins. We can tell him to go fly a kite, and we can rest in the finished work of Christ, and that makes a difference.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Hyattsville, Maryland, and talk to Carl listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Carl.
Yes, greetings. Thanks for having me. I was just calling in regards to the the gospel of the kingdom of God. I have read and studied, listened intently, and I hear very little about this kingdom of God, which Daniel spoke of, and Christ said the reason why he was sent was to preach the gospel of the kingdom, which is this same kingdom Daniel foresaw, where God would overthrow the existing social, political, and economic order and establish his kingdom here upon earth with Christ Jesus as king. And this is the gospel that Jesus preached when he sent out his disciples. He told them to preach the good news about the kingdom.
Well, Carl, what's your question on that?
Yes, isn't this the good news about this kingdom of God, which is supposed to come, which the meek shall inherit on the earth, and that through Christ now we're able to enter it through his atoning sacrifice? That's my question. Thank you.
Hey, Carl, great question, and yes. thanks for participating in today's broadcast. And the kingdom of God is certainly in visible form today. Jesus is the king. He's ruling through his children, his brothers and his sisters. That's the invisible kingdom of God. And we are carrying out his kingdom life and all of that here on earth and in anticipation of the kingdom once it becomes visible,
yes,
when Christ returns. So the kingdom of God is simply the king ruling through his people. Well, we're the people of God, and as we submit ourselves to Christ in dependence, then we see the kingdom being lived out within us. Its shape is the body of Christ today, but there's going to be a point in time where he actually comes and sits on his throne, and that kingdom will be visible, and what Daniel spoke of will be fulfilled in its entirety. Well, Carl, we sure appreciate your call today. Thanks for the great question. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Samuel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Samuel.
God bless you guys.
And to you as well.
I'm just responding to the effect of the gospel that it has on us as Christians. As to me, it personally, the death, life, death, burial, and resurrection reminds me Israelites were actually reminded of the time when they were delivered. Whenever they went through battles in the Old Testament, they were reminded of how God delivered them from Egypt and through the Passover. And so the same way that God delivered Israel in their battles through life as a nation, and we being reminded of that Passover sacrifice, is the same way I deal with my battles, and every Christian should deal with their battles, that we should remind ourselves of what Christ did on the cross in defeating Satan and death and sin. Yeah. And that's how we become overcomers, and that's how it applies to me.
Well, Samuel, that is just excellent insight.
Yeah.
It's powerful because it really conveys the truth of what Christ came to do. He came to rescue us. He came to deliver us. And that word Savior, that word salvation, really speaks to that. The fact that we have been delivered from the law of sin and death into the law of life through Christ Jesus. So there's this movement that's taken place with us. We've been rescued, snatched out of darkness. We've been placed into light. And the death of Jesus Christ is the bridge that makes that happen. And so I think you've really hit the nail right on the head as far as what that means. And as far as our personal experience, I think freedom is the word that really summarizes what you've just said. You're experiencing freedom from those things that bound you, that kept you in bondage, the law of sin and death. Now you're experiencing freedom in the grace of God. And that is the personal benefit of this gospel message. What we long for more than anything in life, freedom, we now have in Jesus. Well, Samuel, that is just fabulous. Well, thanks for calling and sharing your insights on the meaning of Christ's death to you personally. let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this CD as well. If there are other people that want to weigh in on this question, just toward the end of the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call right now.
Right now, 1-800-677-9377. A question from Paul concerning the Lord's Supper, and he references 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 32. It says, looking at these verses through the lens of the New Covenant, can you provide a solid explanation for Paul's warnings here? Can you specifically address what appears to be an equation? If you partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, you, one, are bringing judgment upon yourself, and two, you may get sick and die as a result. The judgment part I can see is possibly referring to other believers present, but verse 30 has me a bit stumped. Please clarify according to the New Covenant.
Good question. And again, that gets right back to the death of Christ. Why do we participate in the communion service? Why do we do the Lord's Supper? Well, Paul gives the reason. We do so to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's death has given us an opportunity to experience new life in Christ Jesus and to live in a new covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. That is a powerful message. And when the Corinthians were coming together, they were not recognizing that truth. As a matter of fact, they were spitting on that truth.
Yeah.
They were mocking that particular truth. And there was great division within the Corinthian church. There were the haves and there were the have-nots. Those that had, they made fun of those who had not, and they looked at that as a sign of God's blessing upon their lives, and they felt like they could get away with anything. And so when they came together at the Lord's Supper, this division was very apparent, and the haves were making fun of the have-nots, so they were not recognizing the body of Christ Jesus, the body nor the blood of Christ Jesus. So Paul was saying, you are bringing judgment upon yourself, not necessarily from God, but from one another. Those who had not, they were saying, wait a minute, this is supposed to be the Lord's Supper, and you're just walking all over us, looking at us as doormats, just living as if we don't even exist and don't even matter within this body. But that's not true. And so Paul was admonishing them for their unworthy practices. Not the fact that they were unworthy. Jesus Christ has made us all worthy to participate in this. His blood has made us holy. His blood has set us apart. His blood has delivered us to God's intended goal. So Jesus has done the work, but they were participating in it in an unworthy manner. Drinking, eating to the full, and as a result, they were experiencing all kinds of sickness and that sort of thing. So that's what this passage is all about. And Paul's advice, if you're hungry, eat at home. When you come together, recognize it as the body and blood of Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, we are just about out of time for this edition of People to People, everybody. Let's talk a little bit about this particular offer that we have called the Basic Gospel Journey. At Basic Gospel, we are excited to impact lives journeying together in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone, of course, is on a journey. Do you know where it's going to take you? Where is your journey going to take you? Well, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction in your life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. And you can begin your journey right now by requesting your copy. It's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click A Gift for You at BasicGospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's BasicGospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Well, Bob and Richard, we might mention to our listeners that those of you who called but couldn't get on the air and pose your question, we will be here beginning in about 5 minutes live on a program called People to People, flying under that banner. We invite you to call if you have something you'd like to share with us, a question you'd like to get answered. Why? Call that same number, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We'll be glad to hear from you on this next edition of the program we've called People to People. Well, we're out of time for this one, and we look forward to being back with you again tomorrow. So join us at the same time. Bye-bye.